You are getting ready to listen to the voice of Dr. Roddy Ferguson, 2004 Olympian, four-time national judo champion, Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, author, speaker, and coach.
Good morning. Just got done working out, got back to the house. About to have my food in a moment, but I had a I got a message from a good friend of mine, Azizi Coleman, and she sent me this video meme that spoke about how a person unloved somebody. Said, "I unloved you in pieces, and it hurt me as I began to unlove you in pieces." And I looked at the video, and then I looked at it again because I want to look at it through my worldly filter, and then I want to look at it through my Christian theoretical framework filter. And what I found out is that when it comes to the topic of love specifically, let's speak about love specifically, because we have situations where people have a belief system about love, and they say things like love is love, and they speak about love, but we all have to talk about love based upon our belief system. Now, if we're doing math, we have to agree that we're going to use either base 10 or base 8 or base 6. So we all have to agree. If we're doing geometry, we have to all agree that we're going to do Euclidean geometry. Otherwise, we're not going to come up with the same answer. And you may have some type of theoretical framework that you subscribe to that will make what you think and what you say okay. And I'm okay with that because I believe that you should believe what you want to believe. But then there's a book that asks me, whose report am I going to believe? And I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Me, that's mine. So when I speak to you, I need you to know where I'm coming from so that we have some type of even keel footing and some type of uncambered grounding, all right? So when we speak about the issue or the topic of love, there are many places that we can go. First and foremost, we go to the text, which is where I come from. We go to the text and we look at what love requires, okay? So when we go to the text, we understand that no greater love than a man has than a man that laid down his life for his friend. So the ultimate sacrifice for someone who loves you is their willingness to either trade in or give up their life for you. So when we have examples of love that we look at from the text, the first one that we have really is that of Christ. The best one that we have in the worldly realm are mothers. Mothers are more than willing to give up their lives for their children out the gate 100%. This is what they do. This is the biological pull that they have and the connection that they have and the emotional and spiritual tethering that they have to their children. Okay? With that being said, we have to understand at the basement level, we have to have some agreement. We have to have some even keel grounding and footing on what exactly love is and what it does. And when we look at it, we got to look at what it is, and we have to look at what it, when we look at what it does, love requires what we call sacrifice, self-abnegation, and self-conceit. Now, when we speak about love in modern day terms, we're speaking about happiness, we're speaking about infatuation, we're speaking about feeling good, and we're not talking about love in and of itself, because love requires sacrifice at the ultimate level. Now, here's where we begin. If we're looking at the process of sacrifice, we have plenty of places in the text where we can see that sacrifice requires everything. But we also have portions of the text where it allows us to understand that obedience trumps sacrifice. Watch yourself now. So where are we now when it talks about obedience? Well, we have to ask ourselves, what does love imply? What does it require? And what does it demand on us on a behavioral level? Because we get things from the text that say, love thy enemy, love thy neighbor as thyself, and love your enemies. And what love is, love is patient, love is kind. And love, we get all these things about love. We go to the 13th chapter of Corinthians. We understand love. What does love require of us? Well, at the core, when we go back to, we talk about sacrifice, number one. We talk about compromise. And then what love requires at the ultimate level, when you take all the 13th chapter of Corinthians and you boil all the pot liquor off, you understand what I'm saying? And you're left with the sediment. What you get is love requires long suffering. Let's stay in this segment of long suffering, because a lot of us get to the point where we suffer and then we think that we have suffered long enough, and then when we feel that we've suffered long enough, then we quit. I've watched people do this in exercise. I've watched people do this in marriage. I've watched people do this in relationships. I've watched people do this in business. I've watched people say, I've had enough and I'm going to leave. I've had enough and I'm out. I've had enough and I can't take it anymore. I've taken as much as I can handle and I cannot do any more reps. I don't believe. And what happens is we get around people. Watch yourself. We get around people when we are in this stage of the suffering. We get around people who are not encouraging us to suffer longer, but they're encouraging us to do what it is that we want to do, which is quit. This is why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you have people around you who are telling you that you can't do it, then when you're a mile 25 of a 26.2 mile race, you will drop out and you won't finish. Why? Because the race is not given to the swift or the strong, but the person who is able to endure till the end, which requires long suffering. People don't believe that they need to suffer long. My life is short. I've only been promised 60/10. I shouldn't have to suffer. Who told you that you shouldn't have to suffer? The reason why you're here is by somebody else's grace, who hung their head on the cross and died because of long suffering. When you get into a situation, if you don't have the right people around you to help you to endure, you won't be able to suffer. So when you are suffering, the first thing that you need to do is look at the people around you who are encouraging you to quit. Yeah, but Dr. Ferguson, I shouldn't be miserable. Who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that? And this is why the Bible speaks about people who have itching ears, because right now we're listening to unsound doctrine. We're listening to memes and videos and things that sound very good to us, but things that are not good for us. And you pass around these videos and these memes and you get on TikTok and you pass around these things that are not, they may sound like they're true to you, but they are not the truth. They're not the truth. Now let's go back. So if I say that I love you, that means I've made a decision to love you irrespective and regardless of what you do. Because love is a what? It's a choice. It's a decision. Many of us love based upon a contingency plan. Jesus, if you pay the mortgage, then I will love you. If you go to work, then I will love you. If you X, Y, Z, then I will love you. If you do so-and-so, then I will love you. If you, listen, I hear it in the internet atmosphere. Somebody says, well, I can love you, but I don't got to stay with you. You are correct. You do not. Unless you have got it in front of someone and made a vow or an agreement. So what are you talking about, Dr. Ferguson? I'm glad that you asked. The Bible speaks it's better than to not make a vow than to make a vow and break one. So if you're going to get in front of an audience of people and make a vow in front of God and sign a paper, then you can't break the vow because you have made the vow for a reason. Otherwise, don't make the vow. So if you have no plans on keeping the vow, then don't make the vow to begin with. The people coming to my judo club, the parents come and say, I want little Johnny or little Lisa to try judo. I say, okay, well, I don't do any long contracts, but there's a 90-day commitment up front. So at least they know, you know, if they have, I don't want any type of commitment. I don't want to be, because what if they want to quit? I said, ma'am, sir, they're always going to want to quit. They're always going to want to quit. I can't find the, what is it? Somebody help me right now. The Bible speaks about chastening and discipline. Nobody likes chastening. Nobody likes discipline at the moment. When the discipline is going down, nobody likes it. How many of you all have worked out? And the workout was miserable. And before you began to work out, the workout was miserable. But when you finished the workout, you were happy that the workout was done. How many of y'all? Many of us. Why? Because nobody likes the chastening. Nobody likes the discipline. Man, I got up this morning. I didn't want to get up this morning at 4:45. I got up this morning at 4:45. I went to the gym at 5:15. The gym was closed. My son told me last night he was going to be at the gym at 5:15. He got on Instagram and he said they changed the time. I said, well, you need to meet me at the dojo. I could hear him. I could hear the silent deep breath that he took, but he won't take no deep breath with me on the phone because I reach through the phone and I snatch him by his neck because I love him. Oh, y'all don't want to have that discussion about love. I'm going to let that go. Because y'all think y'all could just let your children do whatever they want to do and they'll be okay. And that's not. That ain't love. Your job is to teach them in the way that they, not the way that they want to go. Jesus, don't make me preach this thing. Train up a child in the way that they should go, not the way that they want to go. People sitting in front of me in my dojo at the table asking me, telling me, I want to see if little Johnny likes it. I don't care if little Johnny likes it. Little Johnny don't pay no rent. He don't pay no mortgage. He don't pay no car note. He ain't got no job. He can't pay for no gas. He ain't buying no groceries. Ain't buying no Clorox, no bleach, no washing powder. Can't mop the floor. Ain't cleaning the toilet. Ain't putting no garment around the bat. Nothing. You talking about you gonna ask Lil Johnny what he want to do? Lil Johnny do what you say. If you love him. You train them up in the way that they should go. Now let's go back. Now, let me have my coffee. Let's go back. Because now we're in this space. Okay. We're in this LGBTQ space. I don't got all the letters and the numbers and all that down. I don't go to nobody's job. I work for myself, so I'm all that diversity, equity, inclusion, and I don't know all of it. I know I love everybody, okay? And here's the and I'm gonna get to the Roe versus Wade thing too, because we need to have a discussion about we need to talk about love. You know what I'm saying? So we have a situation where if I don't believe what you believe, that doesn't mean that I don't love you. Now, here's the problem, okay? Here's the problem. According to one person's belief system, One person may believe what you're doing is sinful. So then we get into the argument of, well, one sin ain't worse than the other. That's not the discussion that we're having. The discussion that we're having compartmentally and myopically is, I agree with what you want to do. I agree that you should do what you want to do. I also believe that what you're doing could possibly be sinful. Just because I don't like what you do and I think what you do is sinful doesn't mean that I don't believe you should do it. I think that the argument gets caught up, we get caught up in the argument of, I don't want you thinking that my behavior is sinful. I love you. I respect you. I respect your belief system. Now you also gotta respect mine, and then we leave each other alone while you do what you wanna do. Do I believe in same-sex marriage? No, I don't believe in same-sex marriage. Do I believe that people of the same sex should be able to marry each other? Yes, I 100% do, because you should be able to do what you want to do. It's your business. The Bible says everything is permissible, but everything is not beneficial. And I'm going to leave my Roe versus Wade discussion right there. People ask me all the time, like, you believe in abortion? I say, come on, man, stop talking to me like you stupid. Stop talking to me like you stupid. There's nobody on the planet who believes in abortion. Nobody. That's not the discussion. Do you believe in an abortion? Please stop it. Please stop it. There's no love in that question, and there's no love anywhere with that. Do you believe in a book? Please, sir, ma'am, please. There's nobody who believes in abortion. Nobody believes. Don't be sending me no videos and pictures of child parts. And don't do that, man. Don't do that. That's not my deal. It's not my deal. No, I don't believe in people. Are you pro-life? I'm pro-life. I vote pro-choice all the time. Why? Because I live in the United States of America, and I'm not forcing my stuff on you. And I'm not walking nobody by the hand and sending them nowhere and telling them to do something. That's not my deal. Everybody is responsible for their own salvation. Everybody is responsible for their own salvation. If that's not what they want to do, that's okay. You have to love the people through it. I remember I was having this conversation with my Aunt Alice, God rest her soul. And we were at the dinner table on Sunday at our house. And there was a lot of people. It was one of them black folk after Sunday dinner, you know, macaroni and cheese, greens, sweet potato pie, chicken, you know, pigeon peas and rice. It was a lot of people in the house. And one of my cousins was running an abstinence program. See what somebody said. Hey, what's going on, Brent? Was running an abstinence program. And in the program, she was talking about the education of the program. I said, well, does your program also hand out contraceptives? or speak about contraceptives to the children. At which point I did not know that that was going to cause a, I am talking about, so we have the church now, you got these older folks, man, this, that caused such a, an argument in the house. I mean, when I'm talking about argument, I'm talking about if y'all ain't been around black folks, like, they get loud when they start talking, especially when they start talking about Jesus, they get loud. The Bible don't say that. And we going back and forth. And then my cousin, you know, they black folks, you show me where it said that in the Bible, what we supposed to give contraceptives. I say, I have no problem with showing you where it said that. I can show you exactly. Well, show me where it said that. I'll show you exactly where it said that. I say right here where it says, when I was a child, I spake like a child and I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I say, you are speaking to children who have childlike thinking and childlike reasoning, and you're speaking to them with adult type of reasoning, and you're asking them to do something that is in diametrical opposition of the biological and psychological pull and emotional pull of where they are in their maturation state. I said, and if they make a mistake, you should allow them some grace. I said, if you love them. I said, otherwise, what you're telling me is if they don't do what you want to do, then they ass out. And if we go back to the 13th chapter of Corinthians, that's not love. Love is not about, hey, if you don't do what I say, then you don't love me. No, love is about, this is what I would like to do. I understand what you would like to do. I love you. Can we do it this way or can we do it your way? Either way, I'm going to love you either way. I might not like what you do and I might really dislike the behavior that you have, but I still love you. I can love you and dislike the behavior and still love you. And I think this is where people get caught up. Now, let's go all the way back to the relationship thing as we close. I said, because a lot of you have this issue. Relationships require long suffering. I personally have a relationship with the Rogue Echo bike in my garage. It's a horrible machine. It's horrible. I do not like the bike. I don't like exercising on the bike, but I love what the exercise does for me. The relationship the bike and I have is one of suffering. And sometimes when I'm on there for an hour or 90 minutes, it's one of long suffering. But it's the relationship that is necessary because of the discipline that is built up through the long suffering. Now, some of you all have relationships with people. People that you hop on sometimes and people that you hop off sometimes. People that you ride and people that you enjoy riding. And sometimes people don't want to ride you and they don't want you riding them. But the relationship that you had requires some type of compromise and some type of sacrifice and some long suffering, because that's what relationships are about. Relationships ain't about swinging from the chandeliers all the time and going to Sunday brunch. That ain't what it's about. The question is, can you make it? Can you all agree? How can two walk together unless they agree? Also, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. You can get a lot more accomplished in life when you are coupled with someone. Your ability to stay coupled requires you to understand that we're not going to always agree, and I will love you through the disagreement. It also requires for you to understand that the relationship in and of itself is one of suffering. Long suffering is what love is about. I don't understand what all this video meme and these memes that they got talking to you about. If it's so-and-so and I don't want it, and if it ain't coming like this and I don't want it, and so-and-so and I'm on, and I could do bad by myself, and I, okay, all right, okay, All right. Everybody reading self-help books and listening to audiobooks, and that's fine. I don't have no problem with that. I read that and your Bible. I ain't got no problem with that. Read that and your Torah. I ain't got no problem with that. Read that and your Quran. I don't have no problem with none of it. Read it and read the other texts. Why? So that you can have some perspective. So you can understand that a lot of people are going to say what you want to hear. What is love? Love is sacrifice. Love is compromise. And love requires long suffering. That's it. When you boil it down, it's long suffering. You can get into the love is patient, love is kind, love. Yeah, it's all that. And it's long suffering. So if you say that you love somebody, that means that you will suffer with them, you will suffer for them, and you will suffer through them. And that's it. And many of you do not have a relationship with suffering. So that as soon as suffering happens, you're out. This is why I really, really enjoy watching people inside of my dojo go through the process of the acquisition of expertise, of being good at something, because they realize that to be good at a thing requires a lot of suffering in order to be good at it. And if you're not willing to suffer for a long period of time, you're not going to be good. And if you don't believe that you need to suffer, you're not going to be good. And that's all I have for you today. This is Dr. Ferguson, and I'm out. Read about love. And love is not love. Love is long-suffering. That's what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Don't tell me that 2 = 2. I don't need to know that. And the square root of 4 = 2. This is what we need. Take care. I didn't even get to finish my coffee today. We were just talking. This is I knew the Holocaust survivors. I knew 5 Holocaust survivors who knew suffering. Yeah, what you said, Brent, you're right. People don't understand love. I'm going to tell you this. Let me say this as I close. Brent sent me a great video last week where the person in the video spoke about donning the position of the devil's advocate inside of an argument. And what he said is, you know, you should remove the word devil's advocate and actually put in the position who and what you're advocating for. Because if some people who have been oppressed are speaking about their particular oppression, and you come in to play the devil's advocate, what devil are you advocating for? And then I let's take it a step further. Where's the love in your discussion? And let's take it a step further on the worldly level. Let's go to Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Seek to understand first before seek to be understood. Do you understand where the person is coming from? I can tell you this. In most discussions, you'll get a lot farther, or people in the South, a lot further if somebody says, A, B, C, D, E. And you really want to go to XYZ, but you say, let me make sure that I understand what you're saying. You're saying A, B, C, D, and E. And the person says, no, I'm saying A, B, C, D, E. So you say, okay, let me make sure I understand where you're coming from. You're saying A, B, C, D, E. And the person says, yes, I'm saying A, B, C, D, E. And let me make sure I understand how you feel about A, B, C, D, E. And they say, yeah, that's how I feel about it. You say, great. Here's how I feel about X, Y, and Z. Now, if you take the time to understand the person, they will take more time to understand where you're coming from than if you just try to jump in and debunk what they're saying without listening. There's no love there. And make sure that when you're advocating, make sure you're advocating on the love side, not on the H-A-T-E side. Take care. And I love you, but God loves you best.